Let's turn together to Galatians chapter 5. This morning we're in Galatians 5. I'm sort of hoping or assuming if you're attending church and you do have a cell phone, I'm assuming you have a Bible on your phone. If not, I see a thumbs up there, so at least one person. But it'd be a good thing to have on your phone, I think, times like this. If you don't have a Bible right by you or a printed copy, Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read that in a few moments. We're in a sermon series called Bearing Good Fruits. And I don't know if you like this image, but the Bible says that we are like trees. That's one of the images the Bible gives us. Or we're like branches on a vine. And like trees, like fruit trees, or like branches that are connect to grapevines, we're meant to produce something or show something. And the Bible calls that fruits, not apples and oranges, but other things, qualities, and this morning I want to use the word virtues, things that people should be able to see on us, in us. So this morning, the call will be, you know, do people, is there the fruit of love and joy and peace and things like patience and kindness and goodness? Are we people of faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? You're going to hear that in the reading in a few moments. It's hanging here on the banner this morning. I know some of us are in small groups and we're going through the fruit of the spirits, but also this is one of those places in the Bible where I think relatively easy but also really important to memorize. So to have, let's say, the Lord's Prayer memorized, and maybe to have Psalm 23 memorized, and then also these nine qualities that help us understand what's the Spirit of God wanting to do in our lives. So, Genevieve, if you'd come and read the passage for us this morning.
So, since we've been reading this passage a few times this fall, I thought we would go from the message today. Because sometimes, I don't know about for you, but for me, when I hear familiar words said in a different way, in a paraphrase, sometimes it hits me more. I see things that I don't necessarily hear when the words are just familiar. So you won't hear those words. So I'm glad they're up there. Love, joy, peace, and all that. But hopefully this opens up to us more of what God is saying through his word here. This is Galatians 5, 16 to 26. My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. So, why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit, and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or as a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original.
The message is always so interesting to read, eh, and listen to. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. In this fresh translation paraphrase of the Bible, thank you, Lord, that you have gifted people to sometimes awaken us to what the passage is saying. We ask for awake, full hearts this morning for those of us who maybe are tired, for those of us who are maybe a little bit bored this morning, for those of us who are not that interested or thinking about other things. Maybe the worries of the world have overtaken us or other things are calling us. We ask, O Lord, that you would help us to be attentive for a few moments this morning as we listen to your word. Help me, help all of us, O Lord, as we reflect, that you would direct our thoughts, you would direct my words, you would also direct our responses. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm finding that the timing of this morning's message is really interesting. You know, we've already prayed in response to Tuesday's election, and now we're here in Ephesians chapter 5 talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And I find it interesting because one article I was reading said that the election was about character. You know, what candidate had the character to lead the American people? And we might debate or discuss whether or not the American people chose the candidate with the best character. That's up for conversation. But certainly, the recent election in the United States, and I think so many elections that we go through, or other times in our lives, we're always asking policy questions and questions about, you know, what are the candidates going to do, what is this person going to say, but we're always wondering, can we trust them? Is this a person we can trust, we can follow? Is this a good person? Is this an honest person? I want to say, is this a godly person? So character is really important. And this morning, Galatians 5 is talking about the kind of character that the Spirit of Jesus wants to, but also is going to produce in the lives of people who follow Jesus Christ. This morning, as we go through the message, and especially toward the end, the question I would like you to try and answer for yourself. So not for your, if you're sitting beside your spouse, not for your spouse, not for a friend, not for someone else in front of you, behind you, but for yourself, which one of the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, these nine words, which quality do you want or need most in your life right now? Now, I hope some of us would say, I want all of them, or I could use more of each of them in my life. I don't want to pick one or the other, but if you had to pick, if the pastor was saying, it's time to pick this morning, we want them all maybe, But which one of the nine do you want or need the most in your life right now, in this season of your life? Which one would it be? And I want to come back to that question at the end of the message. I want to get to the fruit of the Spirit in a few moments, but from the passage that Genevieve read, whether in the message or the NIV, Paul is talking about two basic realities in our lives, two powers at work. Paul is talking about the Spirit, and in the NIV translation, the flesh. There's the Spirit at work, there's the flesh at work. Both of these are like powers in our lives, or I might say orientations in our lives. When we live by the Spirit, we move towards God, and we move towards the life that God wants us to live. When we live in the flesh, we move away from God, and move away from the life that God calls us to live. Both the spirits and the flesh have longings or desires, or as one pastor said, both of them have lusts. It's the same word used here early on in our passage when it talks about the desires of the spirit or the desires of the flesh. It's the same word that's used in the Bible when it says, don't lust. So there are good desires, and there are bad desires, and both the spirits and the flesh have longings or desires for something to happen. Now this morning, as I talk, and as if you read this in the NIV, as we talk about the flesh, we're not talking, first of all, about our bodies. As the Bible uses the word flesh, it's talking about sinful natures, or sinful nature inside of us. We typically, as humans, have a leaning or an orientation towards things that are not so good. We typically have leanings away from God. We could call them vices, or sins, or things we should not do. This past week, as I was getting ready for the sermon, I was listening to a talk on YouTube by a New Testament scholar, maybe the most famous New Testament scholar in the world today, N.T. Wright. And N.T. Wright was talking about virtues and vices. And I don't know if this makes sense to you or if you can resonate, but it resonated with me. He said, vices are things that we should not do, you know, sins or bad habits. Vices don't need any work. If you let your life go or coast along or just veg, vices will just happen. You don't have to do things to make vices or sinful habits happen. But virtues, on the other hand, don't just happen. They need certain habits in our lives, certain things done that make room for good habits or for virtues. Now, when I heard that, I thought, kind of simple, but how true it is for me. If I just let my life go and don't, you know, sort of veg or kind of go into, you know, just going through the paces, going through the motions, not giving a lot of efforts, how easy it is for my mind, my words, my actions to move toward the vice or move toward things of the flesh, things of the sinful nature. I don't have to tell myself or tell my nature, start doing bad things. Start thinking or saying or doing things you shouldn't be doing. It just happens. But virtues or good habits, they need attention. They need rhythms. They need habits put into my life that will allow those things to grow. And I say that in part because one of the things I want to say this morning, I don't want to say it too strongly, but I do sense that the fruit of the Spirit is not so much us trying to say, I got to get the fruit of the Spirit. I got to find ways to get the fruit of the Spirit in my life. The fruit of the Spirit should, first of all, sound like a promise from God. that this is what the Spirit does in the lives of those who follow Jesus. But I don't want to hear that as, well, let's just sit around and wait for the Spirit to produce fruit or certain qualities or certain virtues in our lives. Work, we aren't passive, work has to be done. But it's not like we are the ones who make the fruit of the Spirit happening. The Spirit's at work, and we want to be open to that, praying for that, maybe putting certain things in our lives that will foster that. But this is what the Spirit does in the lives of those who follow Jesus. I also want to put out a little caution this morning. And the caution is that when we think about the Spirit and the flesh, or virtues and vices, especially for those of us who follow Jesus and say, well, if I'm following Jesus, then I must be in the life of the Spirit. I must be oriented in terms of what the Spirit is doing. I want to be a little careful this morning and not to make them totally neat and tidy categories. Especially for those of us who say, I'm in the Spirit, therefore I must be moving toward total virtue. I'm leaving all those vices behind. These are the two main powers in our lives and I think in the world. But especially for those of us who say, I'm in the Spirit, the Spirit is producing these things in my life, not to give the impression to other people like I've left all that other stuff behind me. There's no sinful nature inside me anymore. I'm done with those days. As we read passages like this, we also want to keep other passages of the Bible in mind and not give the appearance like I'm so good. You know, especially on Sunday mornings, I think it'd be so easy for us as church to say, everything's fine, no trouble behind, I'm just going forward, the victorious Christian life, I'm in the Spirit. We want to believe the Spirit's at work, but also, especially sometimes with each other, sometimes to those who are watching us, you know, what's a Christian like? What's someone in the church like? We want to also give them honesty. I'm following Jesus. I'm living life in the Spirit, but there are also struggles and challenges in my life that I take to Jesus. But it's not like all happy, going forward. There are times where we need to say, sometimes it might look like I'm the imposter. I'm the fraud. I'm the phony. I want to be honest with you in terms of what's happening in my life. As we think about the fruit of the Spirit this morning, I want to say a few things about Jesus and the spirits. Because I think sometimes when we hear teaching on the Holy Spirit, it almost sounds like, maybe not, but it sounds like this. I believe in Jesus. And that's level one. And that's good. And then maybe sometime in the future, maybe I'm going to get the spirits, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And wherever that teaching is in the church or wherever it is in our minds, I want to say when we receive Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. Now there should be and there can be times of renewal, the Holy Spirit refreshes us, Jesus is more real to us, but I don't want to have us believe that if you're following Jesus, the Spirit is either optional or may not be given to you, or it's some kind of totally separate experience. There are places in the Bible where Jesus and the Spirit are so closely connected, they're almost identical. So I want to talk about the Spirit. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to also talk about the Spirit of Jesus. Because the Spirit of Jesus comes into our lives not simply to tweak us a little bit or to, you know, there's a few rough edges in us, but the Spirit comes to bring the life of Jesus into our lives. So I don't want us to think about these nine qualities or these nine words as compartments, little things happening in us. But when we think about the fruit of the Spirit or these nine qualities, this is the life of Jesus. So it's from earlier in this book, from Galatians chapter 4, Paul, the author, is saying, I'm in the pains of childbirth. I'm not a woman, but it's like I'm a woman. I'm wanting something to happen in your lives. And what do I want to happen? I'm maybe crying out, I'm shrieking because I want Christ to be formed in you. So when I take that, that's Galatians 4:19, the previous chapter with Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, I'm reading the fruit of the Spirit not as certainly 9 qualities, but really the life of Jesus that the Spirit comes to bring in those who are following Jesus Christ. There are places in the Bible where the image is, put on love. Wear love like a shirt or a coat. And then other places where the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, put on Christ. And I see those things not as different, but as the same. When we put on love, we're the Bible's telling us, put on Christ. And when the Bible says put on Christ, the best way to do that is to put on love. I'm picking up this morning a quote from C.S. Lewis from his book, Mere Christianity, where he says, every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. So this morning I want to have you believe that when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, this is the promise of God that this will happen in the lives of believers, those who are following Jesus Christ. This is meant to be good news to us, gospel promise to us. When the Spirit is at work, and if you believe in Jesus, the Spirit is at work, this is the life He is producing in us. And not just now, but producing a life, or I would say producing, forming Jesus in us, not just now, but into eternity. So coming back to N.T. Wright, the video I watched, he said, love is not only our duty, it's also our destiny. So we should think about the fruit of the Spirit, not certainly now, the life we're living in this life right now, but also this is going to go on into the future. That there are moments now, hopefully, when we look at each other and when people look at you, that they see glimpses. Oh, I saw some of the patient character of Jesus there, or the kindness of Jesus there. But in the future one day, as the Spirit continues His work in us, there will be not just little glimpses, it'll be, whoa! Huge splashes, large splashes of the character, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That's where life is going. That's where the human project that some people talk about is a phrase I heard recently on some videos. The human project begun in the very beginning when God made male and female in His image. This is one way of talking about it. Where did God want us, or how did God want us to display His image on the earth? Through the virtues or the fruits or the qualities of the spirits. One place we find that is in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Although I'm saying, and I'm calling us, I want us to believe these things are happening, I also need to say, and hopefully you realize this, these things happen gradually. So they're certain to happen, these qualities, but they also happen sometimes very, very slowly. So this is the wrestle of the Christian life. Sometimes we talk about the already, it's already happening, but not yet. So the Spirit's producing this in every follower of Jesus, but not as much as we wish. And especially for those of us, you know, who are ourselves, how do I say this? For us, as we live following Jesus, sometimes we see the progress so slowly. We wish it was faster. And so sometimes we need the experience of someone who hasn't seen us for a while, seeing us again, and maybe being honest with us and saying, "You used to be not so patient with me. But now, haven't seen you for a while, but I'm sensing in this interchange, or now I'm reconnecting with you, I see some renewed patience in you. Or you used to not be very kind to me. Actually, you were a real something to me. But now, I see some, maybe it's not total kindness, but at least some evidences that you're willing to be kind." You know, those are experiences I hope some of us have. It's sort of like when, at least in our family, our kids are growing up, and I know they're growing up. I know they're getting bigger and taller and sometimes wiser and smarter. I see that, but when someone who hasn't seen them for a while sees them, they're like, "Whoa! What's going on with your kids? They're so big and they're blah, blah, blah." And I say, "Yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't see that as much as you do, but because you haven't seen them for a while, you've seen the growth much more than I have." And so that should, I think, also be happening, hopefully, for some of us in our lives. That there are moments where someone, I see that quality coming out of you. This life of Jesus, or this fruit of the spirits. This fruit is meant to be evident for people to see, but in order for that to happen, the Spirit has to do something inside of us. So there should be love on the outside and joy on the outside, but for that to happen, there has to be the reality on the inside. So that's why, for example, the Bible will say, 1 Peter chapter 1, love each other from the heart. So if there is love for each other in the heart, there will be love for each other on the outside. So for the Spirit to work properly in our lives, yes, outward love, yes, outward peace, yes, outward kindness, but in the heart, I want to say most importantly, because if it's in there, truly in the heart, it's going to come out. I also want to say this morning that when the Spirit works, it's certain work. It's gradual work. I think oftentimes internal work. It also needs to be comprehensive work. So even though I'm asking us this morning, which of these nine do you need or want most in your life right now? I don't want us to think, "Oh, if I pick one, that's okay. The Spirit just wants me to become more good or more gentle. I don't have to worry about the others." The Spirit's always putting these things together. Because I can't conceive of someone who's loving, but not joyful or peaceful. I can't conceive of someone who is loving, but not kind. I can't conceive of someone who is growing in joy, but is not gentle. So although different, although distinguished, it's really always a package. And so I come back, it's the life of Jesus that the Spirit wants to produce in us. I also want to acknowledge that this is work for us as persons, but also for us as a people. So I'm hoping that as we live together as a church community, there will be moments where we could gossip about each other and say, "Isn't she becoming more loving? Isn't he becoming more... patient? Isn't that awesome to see? Wow! God's at work in him and her, but also God's at work in them." So it's one of the reasons, not the only reason, one of the reasons why I'm thankful we are, started a little bit taking pictures of the church community. Now, on Sunday mornings, I typically get that view of us. I'm kind of looking around, trying to look around. And I sort of see, all of us. But I don't know if all of us get that same view. So I think it's important for us to be thinking of each other as individuals, but also as a community together. And not just the individuals, but the community growing in love, joy, peace. And one of the goals I hope for us would be that, Lord, might it be next week, next month, next year, 5 or 10 years from now, our strategic plan would be we would be a more patient people. We would be a more gentle people. We would be a more faithful people. Those would be awesome goals for us to have as a church community. Not just individuals or little pockets of people, but there's something that the Spirit's doing here that people, we maybe sense, but others sense as well. This life of Jesus is also among us. Now, one more thing this morning, actually the second last thing from this video I watched, N.T. Wright, really, I commend it to you. If you want a link, let me know. But he, you know, and he is so good. This is one of the great things about N.T. Wright. He is so good on the early church and the first century, helping us understand what was going on then. So sometimes I think us living in 2016, we think, I don't know if you all think this, but I sometimes hear, oh, things are so bad these days. Look around at society, look around at culture, it's so bad. The morals are going downhill. And I think sometimes what I hear is, things are so bad these days, things in the past were so good. I wish, well, maybe you don't wish that, but somebody, I wish we could go back. And, you know, but when I read or I hear N.T. Wright, I think, well, things weren't so good in the first century either. When Paul was writing this list, it's not like people read this and thought, wow, this is so great, Paul. This is the exact list that we would come up with. This was a radical list, a countercultural list. So he says, when the church, no one in the ancient world and very few in the modern world think of these virtues or this list or other virtues that the church community advocates as attractive. So he mentions things like patience, people who are running for office or people who are wanting, you know, for us to listen to them. They're not typically saying, I'm going to be a patient president or I'm going to be a humble president or a humble leader. They aren't usually gravitating toward the things that the Christian church wants people to gravitate towards. N.T. Wright also mentions chastity or sexual self-control. In the first century or in our century, people aren't, oh yeah, that's great. As a church calls for that or encourages people in that, It's a radical call. Even he talked about charity, which is another word for love, but he talked about looking after other people other than our immediate family, which is what the early church was known for. My understanding is that there were times in the early centuries of the church when there was plague and sickness in the cities and people were leaving the cities. You know, there's plague here, the sickness has run away. And the Christians would stay, at least some of them would stay and look after those who are not, maybe even part of the church community, weren't part of their immediate family, but they would stay and care. And the world started to see, this is a different kind of people. Now, I got to be a little bit careful this morning when I mention this example because I always want to be careful when I mention examples that I'm part of because I wasn't really a great participant in this. But yesterday, some of us from Nelson Avenue went to a protest, a demonstration about the demovictions in Metrotown. I was joking with Phyllis. She was flying back from Edmonton. I was saying, well, she said, are you, has the riot started yet? Have they arrested you yet? I said, I need some money for bail, Phyllis. You know, they've got me. Anyhow, so there was someone from the church, we were gathered there talking a little bit, someone from the church said, you know, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. being part of a protest. And I said, I am too, especially because I'm so tall, you know. I'm trying to hide behind someone. I've hardly ever been to a protest. And so they're handing out the signs, and who's, I don't want to hold the sign, I just want to see what's happening. And then this person said, but I had to come because of last Sunday. I'm thinking, last Sunday? I wasn't preaching last Sunday. So, oh no, our guest preacher, Pastor Ross, talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that person said, how could I not come having heard that message? And then I'm pretty sure one of the people who was speaking made a reference to people who just walk over the, sort of pass by the poor, walk over the poor. They don't even notice them. People who are having their houses demolished. And I thought, well, you didn't know that person talking over there, but that's another reference to this parable of the Good Samaritan. People, religious people, just walking by. So I'm not saying all of us had to be there. I'm trying to process how do we as a church respond to what's going on in Metrotown. But I thought there was something about, you know, most of us there aren't having our buildings demolished. But how can we come alongside those who are as a church and show love, genuine love for those? Maybe we don't even know them. Maybe some of their political views I might not always agree with, but how do we come alongside and say, it doesn't matter? In this moment, we want to show true charity or true love as best we can in this moment. There's more we could say about that. I want to end this morning. I wanted a few people to come up and share in response to the question, what is, we want, hopefully we want all the work of the Spirit in our lives, but what one quality do you want or need more of in your life right now? So I got two people to share this morning. So Angela, if you'd come and share, and then I will share after Angela, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Thanks so much.
So when Pastor Yeo sent out this request, I didn't even have to think. It was self-control. And I like the description here, to not be impulsive and uncontrolled. And there's lots of areas, but one of them is food. Someone said to me, can't you eat one cookie out of a bag? And I said, no. Gotta eat the whole bag. And I've been trying to, through willpower, get that control. You know, I'm going to be self-controlled. And God's been showing me lately that that's not how it goes. It's a fruit. It's a of the Spirit. It's something that comes as I spend time with Jesus. So this sermon really encourages me in my need for self-control.
And I know more of us could maybe share, and we can do some of that maybe later on over coffee or, you know, later, you know, in other ways. But I just thought I should also share this morning. So I look at the list, and the word that jumps out for me is joy. You know, I wish I had more joy in my life. And we could go into all the psychological dynamics of why that's true, my background and my personality. And I want to listen to all that, but part of me also wants to say humbug. Whatever the reasons why there isn't more joy, I would love to be a more joyful husband, father, pastor, human being. So that's my prayer for me this morning. I hope that more of us, as I lead in prayer in a few moments, more of us will just say, Lord, whatever it is, self-control, patience, joy, love, peace. We want the whole package, but what's the one thing that you need more of or you want more of in this season of your life? So let me pray. Father, we thank you that you are so gracious to us. You send your spirits to bring the life of Jesus into us. And we ask, Lord, we would be open to that. We would want the life of Jesus in us, the whole life of Jesus in us. And then, Lord, where we sense that we need particular aspects of that life, oh, Lord, come and help us. So for those of us who need more love or joy or peace, Lord, give it to us. For those of us who need more patience or kindness or goodness, Lord, grant that to us. For those of us who are longing for faithfulness or gentleness or self-control, Lord, make that a reality in us. May we see the Spirit at work in our lives for your sake, O God, but also for the sake of others around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.